I think at some point it also becomes like an infectious confidence. You know, you infect others with infatuation of your own product. Obviously, there's also there's a little thing with like ego that needs to be kept in check there naturally. But I think if you enjoy what you do, you make it possible for other people to enjoy what you do.
Je luistert naar Heirloom de podcast. Hier delen de chefs van over de hele wereld hun nog niet eerder gehoorde verhalen. We beginnen bij het begin, het harde werken, de offers en natuurlijk momenten van twijfel. Daarna kijken we vooruit. Wat zijn hun dromen en welke inzichten willen ze met jou delen?
Relaxed?
I'm super relaxed, man. I'm always relaxed.
Well, Kieran, for the people who don't know you, we are in the podcast from Heirloom.
Yeah.
We're after your restaurant weekend.
Yeah.
But where do people know you from? Or where are they going to know you from? Because you're quite busy at the moment.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I think the majority of people in Amsterdam know me from my time at 4850.
Yeah.
Left that about a year ago. And then I've gotten to meet a lot of people over the last year just doing pop-ups in Amsterdam and also abroad. Both traveling and then just, chilling out with friends, cooking food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're out quite a lot, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah, but it's over now. Now we're full-time construction workers, supervisors-ish. Yeah, opening our own place.
What's the name?
Kamer.
Kamer.
Kamer in the Jordaan, yeah, on Westerstraat.
So it's going to be 24/7 over there, like
for the next 3 weeks it's going to be 24/7. Yeah, and then hopefully we can take it down to 12/5.
That would be nice.
12 hours, 5 days a week maximum, but we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. Yeah, it's super exciting, kind of a out of the blue opportunity that landed for myself and my business partner Justin. Ah, hopefully it works. Yeah, we're busy trying to construct the space,
yeah,
make it our own. So far, we're really in love with it, and we're in love with the neighborhood. Everyone in the neighborhood's also super hospitable and very welcoming of our presence,
Jordaan,
which
right?
is super nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we feel very lucky.
Yeah. Hope all the best.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
man.
Coming.
Looking forward to welcoming you for sure.
Can't wait. What's your specialty? If you cook, like, what's your mm-hmm. specialty, and what makes it so good for you?
Hmm. I usually have a really difficult time trying to answer this question. Wat voor koken?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I have quite a difficult time putting a kind of category on what I do. I think the easiest way to try and explain what my food is like, I grill a lot. I like to work with proteins, and I just like to cook food that I like. Yeah. We talked about this as well the last time we had a conversation.
Yeah.
Before Heirloom. I think something truly golden about sort of maturing as a cook, maturing as a chef, is getting to a point where you actually really enjoy your food and you start cooking for yourself more than anybody else. Of course, it's super important that guests enjoy your food and your staff enjoys your food and people get something out of it.
Yeah, it will eventually flow into what people,
exactly.
they come for you
exactly.
instead of
yeah.
the normal menu,
yeah,
I guess.
Exactly. Yeah,
reminds me of, what is it, The Creative Act from Rick Rubin?
I don't know this.
Check it out.
Yeah.
It's Rick Rubin.
I know him, yeah.
He wrote a book.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of podcasts, and he says, yeah, making art is like you do it for yourself.
Sure.
And
yeah, I agree
people,
with this.
People
yeah.
will go to you because they like what you do.
Yeah, it's also like an infectious, I think at some point it also becomes like an infectious confidence.
Yeah.
You know, you infect others with infatuation of your own product.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a little thing with like ego that needs to be kept in check there naturally. But I think if you enjoy what you do, you make it possible for other people to enjoy what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing we talked about last time as well in regards to my food is like the sort of stupid familiarity. I said this word for word last time. I think this is something that I really try and tap into nowadays. You know,
yeah.
food that strikes a sort of nostalgic chord for a lot of people that eat it.
Yeah.
It makes kind of finer food with detail orientation and focus more accessible for people who might not go to a restaurant every single week or might not really, you know, have the same kind of love and dedication to gastronomy as we do.
Yeah.
It makes it accessible and it makes it enjoyable for those people.
Yeah.
But to have food that they understand.
Your food is still adventurous, I think.
I would say so. Yeah,
yeah.
I would say so. And the reason I try and keep a little bit of adventurousness and a little bit of like weirdness, I like to say, in quotations, with the food, is to keep myself entertained as well. And that goes back to loving what you do.
Yeah. I see a big smile again on your face now. That's nice.
You need to keep yourself entertained a little bit and keep yourself challenged. And I think working with more strange flavor combinations or ingredients that you might not find everywhere in every restaurant, it keeps you a little bit awake as a chef.
Yeah.
And I think that's very valuable. You know, as long as you can still provide that familiarity and that nostalgic feeling for a lot of people to
Is that also your passion as a chef, to just keep yourself entertained and then it will eventually go back into the plate? Or what is your your passion about making that type of food? And and also the second question, when did you find out you had this passion?
I think my job is my passion, like full stop. I've been obsessed with it for a little over a decade now. What I find very rewarding about cooking food that's like familiar and nostalgic is seeing people's faces light up. And having worked in many different kinds of restaurants, you don't always see this in every restaurant.
Yeah.
And the restaurants that I looked up to when I was starting my career, going to those places and reacting to the food and seeing how other people react to the food, you would imagine that it makes everybody happy. And you would imagine that it makes everybody fall in love with what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really the case. So, yeah, I don't think I've gotten, and to answer your second question, I don't think I've gotten to a place yet 100% where I really understand how to play into this nostalgic familiarity because of the whole keeping yourself entertained as a chef, because of that idea. But getting closer and closer and definitely feeling more confident with what I do.
Yeah, so you're still in the process.
Yeah, very much so. I think we'll always all be in a process. You know, it's a lifetime's work to figure out what the fuck it is you want to do. Yeah.
That's nice. We're going to talk a little bit more about entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
What is your biggest challenge at the moment? Well, you're in construction now.
Yeah.
So from a chef, you're going, you're a construction worker. But when the restaurant is opening, if you already thought about it with Justin, about your, what will be the biggest challenge when you open?
It's funny. We have a lot of confidence when it comes to opening and what we're going to do conceptually. So I think we're leaving ourselves very open to the possibility of many things going wrong and many things becoming a challenge once we open. It's difficult to say what it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're both, we both have our ears up and we're both on attention.
Yeah. And I have to say, I know you guys very well.
Yeah.
And you are, I think, one of the coolest creative teams opening up a restaurant now in Amsterdam. And the confidence that you have now talking about it, solving problems on the way.
I mean, it's a bit cliche, but like every problem has a solution.
Yeah.
It's very cliche and it feels a little bit silly to say that sometimes, but at the same time, I think
it's true.
You destroy yourself with stress over, you know, X amount of years being in hospitality. And I think the biggest code to crack, things are going to just go wrong, and the easiest way that you can convince yourself to conduct accordingly is to just let it go and find a solution.
Yeah, the more creative you are, the best you can solve a problem.
Yeah, very much so.
Like thinking outside of the box and making a problem.
Yeah,
it can keep you up at night, but it can also be solved in a second.
Yeah,
I think.
I think right now, because you asked what do we think will be the struggle once we open?
Yeah.
We have a struggle now, or I have a struggle now, and I think Juss is very much in the same shoes, and perhaps he struggles with it more as well because he's coordinating a lot of things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're struggling a lot with overstimulation right now because there's 10 million things going on. This week has been relatively calm. Last week was very overstimulating, and the week before that as well. I think it's surprising when you're in an earlier stage of your career. I remember my chefs telling me, opening a restaurant's going to be really tough. You're not going to have energy for everything, and it's going to surprise you. And I remember saying, I'll be fine, I'll be fine. And then now I really understand it, you know? So job interviews, contracts, taking the walls out,
yeah,
cleaning the toilets, repainting everything, trying to coordinate with all of these contractors, handymen, and artists who want to come in and help us convert the space. It's a lot. It's
yeah.
All the time.
Does it suit you doing all of this?
Yeah, I think
together with Justin. But
yeah, I mean, Justin's my blessing.
Yeah.
To be honest, he's
yeah.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying kind of learning about the space that's
yeah.
now ours. I don't think that we would have been able to learn so much about the space if we weren't so involved in terms of the construction, if we didn't design it ourselves.
Yeah, like the physical space yeah. is yours now.
Yeah, it is. And,
yeah.
and now through the process of figuring out what we want to do and changing our minds a million times, making sketches, having people in, and now seeing the work come to life, it's really rewarding to now leave every week knowing the space better. Because if anything goes wrong, which it will, we know exactly how to fix it and we know exactly where everything is.
Yeah.
And that's seldom the case if you just take over a space that's new and it's being built for you by somebody and they give you a quick
it's
little
turnkey ready
guideline. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Open it and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
I don't think you have the same connection to the space.
No, this is,
maybe people do.
It's tailored now to
yeah.
your needs.
Yeah.
And,
we're tailoring it ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is really rewarding. Yeah.
What don't you like about, is there something now or at your job as a chef
yeah.
that you don't like? Is there something, because now you're doing everything.
Yeah. I wish I could have more energy for everything. That would be great.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it's not necessarily something I don't like, because I really enjoy what I do and I really enjoy this transition phase
yeah.
of my career. But definitely controlling how much energy you have and giving yourself enough space to still be a human being and still get the sleep that you need and the
yeah.
nutrition that you need. This is just always a struggle.
Yeah.
It's been a struggle for me for my whole career. And
yeah. I think everybody struggles.
Now still. And I think everybody struggles with the same
with
thing
that.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like also being a nice person when you're finished work.
Yes. Yeah.
I had it in my podcast here. It's like
yeah.
we can be the nice guys when we have to be at work.
Yeah.
Well, we're working 24/7 basically, but when we are
yeah.
at home, how nice of a guy are we? You know,
I yes.
think that's a good challenge. Is that also something people underestimate about you as a chef? Or is there something that people are underestimating?
Yeah,
it's not a 9-to-5 job.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I mean, I'm lucky that I have a lot of support and a lot of belief in my circles and in my network, which is something I'm like really thankful for. So
mm-hmm.
for sure, there are people who underestimate some things about me. Absolutely. I think for sure people have criticisms of what I do, and that's totally fine. Totally fine. But yeah, I used to be very focused on the criticisms and how people underestimate me and how I could fit their mold
yeah.
and change their minds. But I think at that time, I very much struggled connecting with the people around me because of how hard I was working. But now I'm lucky to say that I have amazing people in my life who
yeah.
I've consciously let into my life. And yeah, they help me not focus on, you know, whatever critiques or underestimations that people have.
That's nice.
And instead, we just push forward. You
yeah.
know?
Oh, is that also the people that you have around you,
yeah.
Is that something you learned a lot from? Or is there somebody
yeah, for sure.
like really specific that you had like good tips from or have learned from? Like,
I think it's like a cumulative kind of all of the people who are regularly in my life
yeah,
and who know me really well. I think as human beings, we complete each other a little bit. It's also like a brigade.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps a little bit lame to say, but in a brigade, you should complete each other. You know, everybody has certain skills. Everybody has certain outlooks.
Yeah.
No one person has all the answers. And I think this very much rings true for my personal life as well.
Yeah.
You know, some people are able to give me advice on X, others on Y, somebody else on A, B, and C. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
We have a partner this season. Mm-hmm. It's called Tabby. It's a software for... Yeah, for Horeca entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about working smarter and more efficient, because when you're going to open, stuff has to be very efficient at some times.
That's also our POS system.
Ah,
Tebby.
Yeah. Tebby, here we go. Yeah. What has helped you the most as being a chef or entrepreneur to work more efficient?
I think my staff keeping me in check, to be honest.
Nice.
And being confident enough to tell me. Yeah, being confident enough to give me a little respectful whip every now and again. God knows I give them respectful whips very often. But it's nice to get it back, you know, because sometimes you can lose track of organization. Sometimes you can lose track of efficiency.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can get very buried in your own head. And I think going back to the people around you, you know, surrounding yourself with a team who can help you achieve those things constructively, achieve the organization, achieve the right energy for the kitchen, you know, achieve the right focus and efficiency. I think this is...
You cannot do it alone.
No, you can't do it alone.
No.
You absolutely cannot. And sometimes you're going to slip up. None of us are perfect.
No.
Sometimes you're a little bit preoccupied. You know, fish doesn't come in properly. These two boxes of sauce.
Yeah.
Maybe I forget to label them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to have somebody come to you, hey, chef, listen, man, we have labels here.
Yeah.
Huh? Time to fucking make a label. That's very helpful, you know.
Oh, good.
It's helpful. Yeah. I make your label.
Yeah.
It's helpful, you know. It's very easy to lose constant oversight of what's going on, especially in a very small team, especially with a tight budget and you're still feeding 50, 60 people a night.
How's the team going to look when you open?
At Kamer. Now, we're blessed to have a team already.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Small kitchen team.
Very, very strong team. Yeah. All personal friends of ours as well, who are infatuated by the project and who really want to be a part of it and who've supported us from the conception of this restaurant. So, yeah, we're blessed. It's a small team in the front, small team in the back. And of course, things are going to change going forward. We need to see how many hours there are available. We need to see how our working hours actually, you know, perform.
Yeah.
Adjustments to be made for sure. But small, great team of very talented individuals that we're very happy to have with us.
That's nice. Talented individuals. We're going to have the next questions are going to be about dreams and the next generation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe a weird question at this moment, but what's your biggest dream at the moment?
It ties back to something I said earlier.
Yeah.
Again, a cliche. Today I'm fucking throwing out the cliches. I would love to just stay in love with what I do. And I'd love to find a way to make that long-term sustainable.
Yeah.
I love what I do. I love the connection that I have to it, and I love how it can connect me with other people. It's something I'm very thankful for, something I'm thankful to have found so early in my life. My biggest dream is to find a way where I can keep doing this and live a healthy life, you know, and make the right choices for myself and the people around me.
Is that something you want to really tell your staff and the guys and the girls that are working at your place?
100%. Yeah, it's already something I've tried my best to practice. Of course, we're not perfect. But I've tried my best to practice this over my last kind of leadership positions.
Yeah.
Give people the space to be humans.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that this contributes so much to the longevity of what we do. You can't be a robot forever.
No.
But you can be a human who loves what they do forever. If you find a way to do that without destroying yourself.
Well, that's the thing. You're a very
down
to earth, relaxed person, little philosophical at times. It's good. I see you sitting here. What you do is
you call me after my morning coffee.
Well, you radiate some kind of peace, and I think it will. If you have that same peace coming to you in the kitchen, I think a lot of people would love to work for and with you.
I hope so. You know, it's very easy to reflect on kitchen habits and what your behavior is when you're outside of the kitchen, and sitting in a nice warm room with friends, having a nice little conversation. It's easy to reflect on that, but of course it's also difficult to stay, to have some kind of like a zen and relaxation to you.
Yeah.
When things need to happen and things need to happen quick. It's been a lifetime's work for me of trying to figure out how I can just calm down a little bit, you know. And again, the people around you and how they express to you their feelings about you, that helps a lot. You know, it helps your own reflection process of what I can do better, how I can treat myself better and treat those around me better.
Make sure you have a lot of extra time with your team. Have some relaxing sit downs after work.
Yeah.
Make sure you stay connected with each other.
And stay honest as well.
Stay honest.
Yeah. And this goes both ways. Honesty is, it can be very difficult. For sure. Like full transparency can be very difficult, you know, but I think it's very important in
Is that like, what is that one feeling or one advice you would want to give to the next generation when they want to work somewhere? You're going to also work with people going to do stage at your spot, or like the really young people who want to be chefs? Like,
I mean, here's the tricky thing with honesty as well, is that like, I know from my own experience that not every chef is capable of receiving honesty.
It's for yourself, huh? If you want to be honest and people don't like it.
Yeah. Well, this is
difficult.
This is a bit the thing, you know.
It's growing up.
Same
goes with your parents.
Yeah, man.
When you are with your parents, like on a certain age, you can tell them no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the same goes, but there's like this magical turning point.
Yeah.
And you need to find it.
Yeah.
Being honest. I think.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. I think we're here, man. Thanks for much. We're finished.
Of course. Yeah, thanks for having me. Great little wrap up to the Heirloom series.
Yeah. Very happy to be
myself
part of
as
it.
Well. Myself as well. Also feels nice to have this conversation in a bit of a weird little in between moment.
Yeah.
For me.
And now it's gonna be full force to make up everything in Kamer.
Yeah, man.
Looking forward to it, and I wish you
myself as well.
The best of luck, and I say this from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, my man.
See you next time.
See you, bro.
Ho, wacht even. Mag nog een klein minuutje van je? Je kan ons namelijk helpen door Heirloom te volgen op je favoriete podcast-app en YouTube. Oh ja, en deel ons dan gelijk even via Instagram. Thanks voor het luisteren naar de Heirloom podcast. Dit eerste seizoen is mede mogelijk gemaakt door onze partners Tabby en Botan.